Our God is the God of salvation. This is the psalm that we heard the response. Our God is the God of salvation. And truly he is. That isn't to say that he isn't also the God of justice, and on the day of judgment that those who have opposed him won't also receive their just recompense, which will be to be excluded from the kingdom. But our God is the God of salvation. St. Paul, in the first reading to the letter of the from the letter to the Romans, speaks of this juxtaposition, we could say, of possibilities. We have to keep in mind that Jesus is the sign of contradiction. So there are always going to be these oppositions between Christ and other values that are not of Christ, or that are secondary or distorted in our state of fallen nature and disorder. But St. Paul brings out one of these contradictions or these oppositions. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We live in a culture given to materialism, largely, in which the pleasures of the flesh are idolized. This is also called hedonism. And materialism or hedonism both fall under the umbrella of that phrase coined, I think, by Pope St. John Paul II when he called our culture a culture of death. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then he goes on to talk about, he says the following: you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. We are children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So there is another contradiction: suffering and glory. Suffering is something that we could say is an oppression of some kind. But that leads then to the exaltation of our union with Christ, and that is the glory that is promised to us. In the gospel reading, then, we heard again of this God of salvation and apparent contradiction. It's true that there is a law, and it comes from God, that thou shalt keep holy the Sabbath, or keep holy the Lord's day. But unfortunately, the leader of the synagogue, I suspect, was a bit puffed up with his position of being the leader of the synagogue. And this self-righteous attitude that he expresses blinds him to the fuller truth that, in fact, Jesus is fulfilling that law. The lady, or the woman, for 18 years has been crippled by a spirit, is what the gospel tells us. And Jesus sets her free. So he's freeing her from an unholy spirit, And he's also, in doing so, giving her a greater ability to rest on the Sabbath day from her suffering, to be freed of that burden, as well as freer in her body to worship the Lord on the Sabbath. So his action doesn't contradict the law, or more importantly, does not contradict the spirit of the law, whereas the self-righteous leader of the synagogue fails to understand the spirit, fails to see that Jesus, in fact, is fulfilling the spirit of that law. And I also suspect that the synagogue leader perhaps feels a bit upstaged. He's the leader, but here comes Jesus doing these wonderful things that he himself can't do, and so he's trying to find fault. And so he's failing to give glory to God, whereas Jesus is. Jesus came, he said, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he also said, I did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. We have to also avoid self-righteousness and seek the glory of God and understand that the greatest law, of course, is love, compassion. Saint Vincent de Paul once assured his daughters, his spiritual daughters, in the congregation that he founded, that it would not be a contradiction of their fulfillment of the rule and their obligation to pray if in the course of prayer they were to have to interrupt that prayer to attend to the needs of one of the poor that came to them. That charity is also honoring God, and at that moment more important than other duties or obligations that they have. Let us remember that we are called to be children of God, that although there is a law and a proper order of things, we have to be led by the Spirit that animates that law, the Holy Spirit, and not interfere with charity in the name of upholding some other law. But in all of this, also pray to be guided by that same Holy Spirit to always seek God's glory and to be guided in all that we do by Our Lady, who is the mirror of justice and will guide us to the fulfillment of the law in charity while always honoring also the truth. Praise be Jesus and Mary.